Death by Chocolate. Written by Gillian Brightmore. Narrated by Emily Wilden. The discarded purple boxes and gilt paper lay all around her, strewn in mayhem across the coffee table once she had reached the required state of euphoria. Sighing, she lay back on the sofa, replete, snapping off the next section reverently, slipping it gently onto her waiting tongue, the greedy lips now coated with the velvet smooth stickiness melting on her fingers, smearing her mouth as she sucked at the chocolate, her eager teeth cracking apart the dark squares, one at a time with deft bites, breathless in her ardor of consumption. The addiction, an all-encompassing passion, overwhelming her totally. Chocolate. Snapping off the next section of the perfect pairing of dark caramel with a hint of chili, satin smooth on her tongue, as she teased away the remaining tinfoil paper tenderly, then with a final furious rush, as she dispatched another portion, her waiting tongue, the rich darkness assailing her taste buds, with a hit straight to the palate, desire quenched, for the time being at least. Let nothing, she thought to herself, interrupt this perfect moment. Consummation completed. A rapid knocking at the front door disturbed her languor, so she started like someone caught in a guilty act, sweeping up the debris and flinging it into a trash can. "Why, hello," she said, seeing the man standing there with a package tied with silver ribbons in his hand. "And a little premature, I think, and not what we had arranged. Tomorrow, was it not?" Thinking she had spoken churlishly when he, her suitor, had come bearing expensive, mouth-watering gifts finely wrapped, he leaned forward to kiss her. Dido turned her cheek, not wanting him to taste her lips, newly smeared with 70% cocoa, or to smell her breath, still holding the sweet aroma of that naughty dark caramel. Let alone the splendid green ice with cranberry she had so urgently craved at 5 o'clock, to say nothing of the Peruvian. Entering the sitting room, he pulled Dido onto the sofa, but she could only sigh, as from the corner of her eye she saw the unopened chocolate boxes tucked away under the bureau. While his hands were all over her, she drew back. "Later. Not now," she said languidly. "Look, my sweet," he murmured, showing his beloved a gift-wrapped box from his pocket like a conjurer doing tricks, before placing it tenderly at her feet. "Just for you. Sweets for the sweetest. Your favourites. Notoriously nutty. How utterly kind to have remembered my tastes. And how sophisticated to have chosen this particular brand." She purred like a satisfied feline. He warmed to her joy. It was all she could do not to tear it open right in front of him, there and then. But demurred, shyly preferring her indulgences to be taken alone, privately. But let her smile radiate towards him like a queen who had been honoured with some ancient rite. "Shall we go up? Is it time now?" he asked expectantly, as he sidled towards the door, longingly now hoping for joyful fulfilment for his long-held desire. Dido's eyes strayed uneasily towards the staircase, and then to the fridge. She took out that superior, wicked white lint, placing the chocolate pieces, chilled to exactly the required temperature, on a tray of crystal-cut glass. Then she acquiesced, following where he led. His lover's impatience grew with every step, as he led her upstairs, eager to possess her, his steps racing. Sitting on the edge of her bed, he said, "Shall I open up the gift box for you now?" "No," Dido said. "Leave it until I am alone. Then, when you have gone, I can think of you, my dear, as I devour it." His face fell like the sun retreating through cloud. "Devour me," he pleaded, fearing he would not be allowed to stay all through the night, and yet again. The lover had tried every brand he could think of, from fair trade high-end superior milk through to a spicy orange ginger, and even to that extra degree of the lint excellent 70% dark, hoping that might coax her into his arms, as well as the top of the range premium Belgium, and paired with an Amelia pale rose, and even right down to the locally crafted handmade Welsh he had had to travel over 100 miles to Haverford West to fetch in a mint condition, hoping with it to unlock her latent passion with the sweet offering. But it appeared, dear reader, to have been of no avail. He knew that before long he would be told to leave, knowing the established pattern only too well, with the final moment after prolonged dalliance. But before any consummation, she would dismiss him, in favour of her strongest passion, pure and unadulterated love of chocolate. He couldn't help but notice that over the months he had been courting her, that she had grown a little fatter, but it suited her. She was like a Rubens to his adoring eyes. Besides, the more replete she grew, the more he wanted to possess her, devouring her as she did her cocoa fancies, and even to smear her all over with the dark coating that his Dido loved so well. However, one cold spring night, at almost midnight, he could wait no longer. The moon was high when he rang her doorbell, and loudly, Dido came down dressed only in her light robe, so that he could see her creamy breasts beneath, and he thought lingered the pure sweet aroma of premium Swiss white. "My," she said, "why are you out at such an hour?" He stepped quickly inside, so that she had no time to close the door. "All this dalliance, this prevarication must stop. You need me tonight. I can wait no longer. No chocolate tonight." "Really? Is that really so?" Dido slowly smiled as she lingered in the hall light. Deftly taking off his gilet, placing it carefully on the back of a chair, then kicking off his shoes, he waited, hopefully at the foot of the stairs. "Shall we then go up?" "No," he said, presenting her with a block of regular supermarket milk, the only purchase he could find so late an hour. Dido looked with unconcealed contempt at this offering, moving quickly to the fridge and taking out a rock-hard block of fair trade dark, which she flung at the man, catching him on the side of his jaw, saying, "Take that for your trouble. A supermarket brand, my foot! And well after midnight, too!" Dazed, he next felt sharp pieces of frozen chocolate being shoved right in between his teeth as he clutched his throat in alarm, seeing the fire in the eyes of his beloved burning like live coals, or a cat in heat. "You should have known me better than that," Dido screamed. "You should know, my man, I never touch those inferior brands. Those are never, never what I crave for." Pausing to force more chocolate into his gaping mouth before she went on, "I was expecting, considering the lateness of the hour, a dark Madagascan, or even a lightly burned caramel, At the very least, Green and Black's organic dark ginger. At the very least, my dear. Overcome by her ire, he lay supine at her feet. As Dido took a fresh block of the organic orange dark from her emergency store, indulging in the consumption, no longer aware of the lover struggling for breath at her feet. Even though he was lying on her most expensive oriental rug, which was a pity, as he foamed profusely at the mouth. Some moments passed, and then he lay quite still, the hot coals of his passion quite spent. How odd it was, Dido reflected to herself, that some people allowed passions to get the better of them, while she herself preferred to savour hers in the love of well-tempered cocoa, down to the very last morsel. As she did so, she quite ignored the lover's contortions, not caring whether he lived or died. His lesson learned until he lay still, comatosed at her feet.